Our first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 40, beginning at verse 25. To whom will you compare me, says God? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain at Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary. Young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. I wonder if you've been asked the question, how are you? I was asked that once this morning, and I said, perhaps I've got an answer there. Weary, perhaps. Tired, perhaps, through the strain and the stress of the last few years. Perhaps some personal reasons we've become restless, finding it difficult to cope, not being able to do the usual things. And perhaps we have become weary, anxious, worried, disappointed, perhaps. We could go on, tempted to despair. But we notice in this chapter of Isaiah, we notice how the people in exile in Babylon first doubted the power of God. Was he powerful enough to do anything? After all, we thought he was, but we're here in exile. And then even doubting the goodness of God. Even if he could do what we want him to do, does God really care? No sooner has that truth of God's power begun to take effect than doubt about his goodness begins to raise its ugly head. In view of all that has happened, can we really believe that God still cares for us? Isn't the message that he will move heaven and earth to save us rather simple, facile? Isn't the truth rather that we are too small to be of more than a passing interest in him? And that if he really cared about us, surely he has long since ceased to do so. Perhaps that was going through the mind of the people in exile there in Babylon. And perhaps Isaiah himself knew that feeling only too well. He himself had doubtless been troubled by it many times in his own faith pilgrimage of faith, especially during his call to be a prophet. God told him to go and preach to his people a message that was suitable for their situation. They probably won't listen, he was told, but they might. He had also learnt enough about God to know that that was a lie. The glory of God is not just, or even essentially, his power, but his servanthood. The fact is that no one and nothing is too small to be important to him or worthy of his attention and care. He's not only strong in himself, he gives strength to the weary. And therefore, those who hope in the Lord will never do so in vain. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. Just a few thoughts from that last verse of that chapter, which is one of those verses that I got seeking when I was feeling weak and weary and disappointed and various other things. Those who hope in the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up in wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That word that's translated hope in the NIV is also translated in different ways, in different versions. One of those versions of the it's a Hebrew word which also means wait patiently. And something will happen. Something will change. Or rest trustfully. And of course, the hope that we have in translations in the NIV is the sure and certain hope that the writer of the Hebrews puts later on. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And it says there, this is what the ancients were commended for. And perhaps we can be commended for. And if we hope or wait patiently or rest in trust, those hoping in that case, that maintained relationship which we can have with God through Jesus, our strength will be renewed. We will be keeping on fresh strength. It's a different strength, as if people become like eagles, a strength brought about by transformation. It is the divine strength, like God's own, that helps us to face, enables us to deal with the demands on our ordinary and exceptional demands on our faith and lives. So we're encouraged here to trust, rest in God, because of his faithfulness and because of his power and because of his compassion. One of the verses that I turned to this was in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Verses that may ring a bell with you. Tim preached on this, or was one of the points that he made about the pain of joy a few weeks ago. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So there's quite a lot in the Bible. These are only two of the three references I refer to today, concerned with the encouragement of God's word. We probably know that passage off by heart. And those heroes of faith that have been mentioned in the previous chapter speaks of them almost as spectators, with the Christians themselves in the arena, aware of the presence of the spectators. But of course, they're not there. Those spectators are not there just to be entertained. They're there to encourage to the present contestants. And I thought back on my life as a Christian in Bristol and here, and realized that there are many people who have been able and come alongside me and my family, people of faith who have encouraged us on our Christian pilgrimage. And no doubt we can think of some for ourselves, people who have been, who've helped us and helped us to grow in our Christian life and experience. And of course, the challenge is also there that we too are able to encourage those who are in a different generation to us, the younger generation. And they look to us and say, yes, we learnt something of Jesus from us. But the passage goes on, as we know. It talks about the athletes training and all, with all the necessary essentials laid aside. Nothing that adds weight is retained. And the challenge for us as Christians that nothing should impede us as Christians in our spiritual race of faith. But we're to run with perseverance, and that requires effort and determination, pressing on in spite of our weariness, in spite of our difficulties, which are very much a stern test of our endurance in the Christian faith. But there are two things I want us to remember here. It tells us to look to Jesus. The word look is really look away from something, from others, and direct your gaze on Jesus. That's one phrase there in the Greek. Who is the perfect example of who we should follow and trust and reflect? The one who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And it goes on, and this was where what Tim really recognized and put across to us through his preaching the other week. The pain of joy, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Probably the disciples remembered this remarkable fact when they reflected on the life of Jesus. And the words that Jesus spoke just a few weeks, months before, or years before. John chapter 15, verse 11, I have told you this, he said to the disciples, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And when he prayed for his disciples, he said this, I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of joy, of my joy within them. It took precedence over everything else, the joy that would be there when he saw what lay before him, not just the cross, but the resurrection. So look away from others and direct your gaze on Jesus and consider him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart, lest they become exhausted, weary, faint-hearted. And the word consider means something like this: reckon up, make a careful assessment of every aspect of the hostility Christ had to endure against him. We know he was mocked, assaulted, scourged, forsaken, handed over by informers, imprisoned, falsely accused, killed an innocent person there on the cross. So was he. Perhaps we are like that, and perhaps there are people today in different parts of the country and the world that we have been praying for in the last month. We prayed for what was happening in India. And there are plenty of other places that we know where Christians face persecution. So was he. The hostility reached its climax in the shame of the cross. Usually that was reserved for those who are really guilty. But Jesus was innocent. The shame of the cross. And what was the purpose of all this? Just in case this happens to you and you become weary and faint-hearted, he's saying. He said that you should not be weary and faint-hearted. And the word used there is, as William Barclay pointed out, of an athlete who flings himself on the ground in panting relaxation and collapse after he or she has surged past the winning post of the race. And we see this often, don't we, in the games, the Commonwealth Games, the Olympic Games, and whatever other games that we have. The winning person often is so exhausted, he or she sinks to the ground. But we can only do this, we can only consider him, only keep that faith and have our weariness sorted out, as it were. We can only do this with God's help. And I can't leave this talk. That same Jesus speaks to us with the invitation, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And forgive me if I use the message for where that passage comes, because I think it just sums up something of the thoughts. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Look away to Jesus. Consider him. Remember again what he went through to enable us to become his followers, his disciples today. And this is what we need to remember as we come to the Lord's table. We come and take bread and wine, reminding us of what Jesus went through to bear our sins in his body on the tree. And I close with a verse of another hymn, which just expresses a prayer by George Matheson. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer, fuller be. Amen.